Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Not continuing to bless me? I don't know if I want to follow this guy. I don't know if I believe in you. And so this is where Jesus is at with them. You're not really here because you really believe in me. You're here for the miracle. You're here for the things that will meet your worldly needs. But you're not here because you believe in me. Not because you saw the signs that point to who I am and you really believe in me. So he begins by correcting their theology. The Lord will do that. And he says, Moses did not provide you bread from heaven. My Father provides the true bread from heaven.
Sadly, many people go to church and try to follow the Lord for what they can get out of him, rather than truly believing who he is and desiring to know him intimately. Today, Pastor Troy will be explaining how even while Jesus walked the earth, multitudes of people followed him simply to be fed and to see miracles. Jesus knew most of the people simply wanted things from him, rather than receiving salvation to truly know him as God. Don't be a part of Christendom simply for what you can get out of it. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
John chapter 6, verse 30 through 50. Now, when John records a miracle like he did here, you can notice or compare with the other gospel writers that he often includes less detail, almost like, okay, this miracle happened, it was really cool, and then he moves on. And the reason is because from John's perspective, it's not about the miracle. I'm not going to focus on the miracle. The miracle tells us who he is. And here's what he did right after that miracle. Watch what he says about himself. Watch what he proves himself to be. And so that's where John is focusing in his gospel. The miracle has happened. He's walked on the water. He's delivered the bread. But now the question is, what do the crowds do in response to some of this? That's what's important. Do you believe in him? Or not? Are you just here for the bread? Are you just here, fix my life, fix me up, do something, give me something, give me friends, whatever it might be, something I can get from you? Or are you here to know him? Are you here because you believe he is who he says he is and who the miracles attest to his being? So we'll talk about the bread of life. And some questions we'll address are, what is this bread? How do we eat this bread? And what does this bread do? And before we pick up in verse 30, let me give the context of why he's going to say, or why they're going to ask what they ask. Jesus, remember, said to the crowds, you guys are not here because you saw the signs, the miracles, those miracles that prove who he is. You're not here because of that. You're here because you had bread and were filled and you want more. So now they hear this, they're taken aback by it, and now they respond in verse 30. They therefore said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So the first question we'll address here is, what is the bread? What is this bread? They obviously didn't get it. They didn't understand. So they ask, okay, you say we didn't see these signs and we would believe in you, or we came over here for bread. Okay, well, show us a sign then. Show us, come on, dance for us, do something. And so they ask him to show a sign. Now, the problem with their request is the whole reason they're following him anyway is because of all the signs that he had shown in Jerusalem. Many were beginning to follow him. He'd already shown, man, this guy can do things. Not only that, but his teaching up to this point and the bread, that wasn't enough of a sign. Now, they probably couldn't see him walking on the water because of the storm. The disciples could barely see him and they were scared that he was a ghost. But they've already had enough. And now they're asking, well, show me something again. Prove it. Show us the sign. All right, you mentioned a sign, but he's already done it. He knows their hearts. He knows it's not another sign that they need. Oh, by the way, they knew he had done the bread. That's a good trick. But they bring up the manna. Moses and the manna, right? Now, they bring up Moses and the manna because Moses in the wilderness, well, Moses fed the people every day, 40 years, except for the seventh day. This wasn't a one-time loaf of bread here. This was 40 years. So, Jesus, it's going to take more than one day of bread to convince us. Come on, show us something. Now, the reason that they bring up the manna and Moses is because Moses had said that there would be a prophet like him in Deuteronomy chapter 18, that God would raise up a prophet like him, like Moses, and send them this other prophet, and him they should listen to. So, they're thinking, the Messiah? Okay, bread, that sounds pretty Mosaic to me, like manna. However, Moses fed for 40 years, you know, once is a trick. Come on, give us more than that. And that's why, at first, when the miracle was first done, the feeding of the 5,000, at first, they said, this is the one, this is that one. Back in verse 14 of chapter 6. This is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Oh, this is him. But now it's the second day. And where's the bread? Come on. Are you going to continue to bless me? Bless me. Where's the blessing? He's not continuing to bless me? I don't know if I want to follow this guy. I don't know if I believe in you. And so this is where Jesus is at with them. You're not really here because you really believe in me. You're here for the miracle. You're here for the things that will meet your worldly needs. But you're not here because you believe in me. Not because you saw the signs that point to who I am and you really believe in me. So he begins by correcting their theology. The Lord will do that. And he says, Moses did not provide you bread from heaven. My Father provides the true bread from heaven. They said, Moses provided. Moses. He says, no, Moses didn't provide you that bread. My Father in heaven provides the bread, and he provides the true bread. And then he says, and I have your bread. In verse 33, we read, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So what is the bread? Very simple. It's Jesus. A relationship with him gives life, real life, true life. Yeah, we can prolong our life with an extra piece of bread, but we'll need another piece of bread. Yeah, we can satisfy ourselves by winning that trophy, but we'll always want the next trophy. There's going to be next year, someone else will put us down, and we need the next thing. We're always chasing after the next thing in this world. But the Lord says, this bread that I give, it's enough forever. It'll give you real life. He gives life, he sustains life, and he's all that we need. But they don't quite get it. They don't quite grasp this. And so, verse 34, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. All right, this bread sounds good. Give it to us. And Jesus, to make it very clear, what does he say next? And Jesus said to them, verse 35, I am the bread of life. You don't get it? I am the bread of life, period. And then he goes on to say, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. You've seen the things that I've done. You've seen certain things and you keep asking for another miracle. You don't believe. You've seen, you don't believe. Another one's not going to help you. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus is encountered by this group of unbelievers. You're not going to do more for us. You're not going to give us bread. You're not going to do the miracle. You're not going to do the thing we want. Well, maybe we don't need you. Maybe we don't believe in you. And Jesus says basically this, look, the Father has some that are going to come. All that the Father has given, they're going to come. Maybe you're not one of them. So, you know what? If you don't believe me, that's on you. But those who believe in me do so because they've had an encounter with the Father. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But immediately Jesus turns the conversation from their self-focus, well, give us this bread. Give me. And he turns their focus from self-focus to a Christ focus. And he says, no, come to me. No, you come to me. You believe in me. Then he gets on to them saying that you have seen me, and yet that's not enough for you. You've seen me, but it's not good enough. So here they are. They're at an impasse. This is a group, many of them are going to leave after all of this, at the end of this message and this encounter with Jesus. But how do we eat this bread? We believe. We believe in him for who he is. We believe in him for everything that he claimed to be. We believe in him for everything these miracles say that he is. We believe in him because when he died on the cross, he did so for a reason. And he gives that reason. And we believe in him.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
We believe in him, not believe that he existed. Any and everyone can do that. Any and everyone. Satan does that. Satan knows he existed. People who said, crucify him, know that he existed. They were there. Did Jesus exist? Obviously, he's right here. No, you believe in him. You believe he is who he said he is. You put your faith, your life in his hands. And if you don't do that, you don't believe in him in the right way. You believe that he is. You believe he's there. You give an intellectual knowledge, which is why it's so challenging for some. Because they think, if I just, in my mind, reason it, but then I don't feel anything. Then I don't have this. I don't have this experience. Those things don't follow. It's very challenging to try to make this all work in your brain. It just won't happen. Something else has to happen. How does this happen? The Father reveals him to us. The Father reveals Christ to us. You remember that encounter that Jesus had with Peter and the disciples? And he asked them, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jesus said, okay, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, very good. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. In other words, your intellect, your reasoning, you're putting two and two together, it didn't reveal that to you. It can't happen. my Father in heaven had to reveal this to you. It's the only way you could have got this. Look down at verse 45. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, Jesus speaking, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You see, you can't come to him because you've got it figured out in your mind. You got some theology. I read it. I believe it. That's not how you come to him. You can't come. You won't come. You'll come because, they can make my life better. Oh, if I get involved in the church, they'll take care of me. You can come for those reasons, no more than a mere animal trying to take care of themselves. But for spiritual reasons, to really come to him, there has to be revelation from the Father in the form of his true existence. So you're sitting there and you're reading the scriptures, you're dealing with the Lord. You're not going, well, this makes sense to me. I really like this. And you're talking to yourself. At some point, there's a transition. God interjects, intervenes, and goes, so, what are you thinking of this? So, do you really believe? Do you believe that I'm talking to you right here, right now? Is there an encounter with the living God, one that you could never deny? See, without that, you can't have salvation. It's not about theology. It's not about head knowledge. It is truly about an encounter and a relationship. Think about Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was running, persecuting, killing Christians because he was angry at them for everything that he was doing to Judaism, which God had established. And so when he came, what did he have? He had an encounter with the living God, with Jesus, the risen Lord. And that encounter transformed his life. He had to think about it. The Lord blinded him. So he had to really sit in silence and think about this. And I love some of the first words of Paul the Apostle, or first words to Paul the Apostle, a persecutor, a hater of Christians, when finally God sends for Ananias and he comes and he, at first he's scared. He's thinking, Lord, you want me to go talk to this Saul guy? He's the one that's killing us. I don't know if I should go put myself in danger like that. But the Lord said, hey, I've already shown him what things he's going to suffer, all that he's going to go through. Go minister to him. Just go minister to him. He's my servant. And so can you imagine Paul, who was so abusive, so aggressive against these guys, the first words he hears from one of them is, brother Saul, brother, I've come to pray for you. Not hatred, not anger, but the heart of God for this man. It transforms your life when you begin to experience who God is, and sometimes and very often through his own people. There's a relationship that is initiated, and it's initiated by God. He must initiate it. You can't come because you've tried to figure out life's journey. You'll never find it. He's the pursuer. He's the one who speaks to you. All you have to do is acknowledge it. All you have to do is listen. You'll say, well, God never spoke to me. Let God be true and every man a liar. God loves you. God speaks to you. He reaches out to you. He gave his son for you to die on the cross. Don't say he never spoke. Don't ask for more bread. He's given the bread. You have to listen. The scripture says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament speaks of his handiwork. So you look at something and there's order. And I know we got science. Science, when worked properly, never disproves God. It only proves his systems. Yes, there are systems in place. That's what science proves. There are systems. Look at our body, the design of our body. That's created. In fact, it's so well created, we copy it. We copy it. In refrigeration, they have a check valve. It lets stuff flow one way and not the other way. So that's a pretty good design. Well, God put that in us first. In our hearts, blood has to flow one way, not the other. we look around and we look at a building like this. We don't walk by a building and go, I wonder how that got here. I wonder if man created that or if it was just blown together with some big bang. We never, ever consider that. And yet we'll look at the universe and go, well, it started in a little tiny dot and it just banged something from nothing. You have that kind of faith and you refuse to believe in God? Do you not understand? Do you not get it? You guys are weak. You have to depend on faith. You guys are weak too. And weird, because you're believing a little period exploded. And it's nothing that created something. And that there's no purpose in life at all. Look, if what you believe is right, I'm not the worse off for it. I'm not the worse off for it. I have a good life. I've had a good life. And following the Bible has blessed me. But let me tell you this. If I'm right and you're wrong, then there's eternity to pay. I'm putting all my eggs in my trust in the Lord. I believe in Him. But not just because that seems to be the better thing to do. That'd be a mental reason. But because of my encounter with Him personally. Opening my heart to Him, watching Him, putting my trust in Him and watching what He does, I can never go back. Can never be unconvinced. No more than you could ever convince me. Even though my dad has long been gone, he's passed away, I can never physically see him again. You can never convince me he wasn't here. You can never convince me of that. I know because of my relationship with Him, my encounters with Him. The same thing is true with the living God. For those who belong to Him, it begins with an encounter. You and Him. And He initiates that encounter. So, now I know there's some theologies out there that talk about this. So does God then, if He's the one who initiates, does He decide this way back in eternity past and He just says, you know what, I'm not going to think about you or anything in the future. I'm just going to go, this one's going to be saved. These are my elect and these are not. Nothing personal. Does He just kind of elect and then let things unwind and says, doesn't matter, these are my elect, these are not. Does He do that without considering who we are, what we would do, what we would choose, how we would be, what would be in our hearts? Does he do that? I'd say that that's an impossibility. It's actually impossible that He could do that. Because God knows all things. So no matter where He's at, you haven't been born yet, but He knows you. He knows what you would do. He knows what you'd be. He knows what choices you'd make. He knows everything about you before you ever live. And so it's impossible for God to make a decision about you and your eternal future without knowing you and knowing who you are, what you would do. It's impossible because He knows everything. Throughout the Scriptures, we see both ideas present. The idea that God elected before you were ever born, before all of this, I knew you. But then we also see things like you need to make a choice. Come to me, make a decision. So we see both of them in the Scriptures. And here's why it's so hard for us, and for whatever reason we fight it all out, but here's why it's so hard for us to understand. Because this is how God does something. And for us to understand how God does something, it's impossible. How has He existed for all eternity and not gotten bored? I don't know. I don't know what that's like. For us to figure out the hows, just always remember when you're arguing with someone, if you're arguing about who Jesus is, that's a reason to argue. He's the living God. He's the one true. He is God.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your